T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese. 76ers with a win last night, but could they be looking for help to discuss? Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer joins us. Follow him on Twitter, at KevinO'ConnorNBA. Read his work at TheRinger.com. Listen to Kevin on The Mismatch with Chris Vernon. That's every Tuesday and Friday. And The Ringer NBA University on The Ringer NBA Show on Wednesdays. And, of course, with us every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Well, let's start with Ben Simmons real fast here. All-star, I think a lot of 76ers fans were saying, like, oh, cool, he's an all-star, but Tobias maybe deserved it. Tobias Harris maybe deserved it a little bit more. Do you agree?
I would have had Ben Simmons on my ballot. Obviously, the coaches choose the reserves, but Ben Simmons has been one of the best defenders in basketball this entire season. He defends across positions. He defends the opposing star player, typically on a night-to-night basis, especially in second half of games if they need that. And offensively, even though he might not be the pure scorer, he might not be a go-to guy, he still plays a pivotal role on this team with the things he does in the open floor. In the half court, it's been nice to see him integrating more screening for his teammates. Little stuff like that all adds up. So I think the coach made the right choice putting Ben Simmons on there. This year was tough, though. There's so many good players, including Tobias Harris, that were deserving in a normal year.
Yeah, I completely disagree. Terrible choice by Doc Rivers and whatever coaches, Kevin, that made this decision. And real quick, because I know we can have a little fun going back and forth with this, Ben Simmons, great defensive player, maybe defensive player of the year. Why in the hell would I vote a defensive player into an all-star game where I can't even use his skill set? That's the last thing they want to see in an all-star game is defense. Ben Simmons is going to be out there. He can't do any of the other things that the guys are doing. What is he going to do in an all-star game, Kev? What?
I mean, hey, maybe with all-stars, we should just choose all scorers. Maybe that's what it should be. But I'll tell you what, though, Ben Simmons, he can pass, though.
He can pass.
He can play in the open court. He can dunk. There's plenty of fun to be having Ben Simmons at an all-star game. He doesn't need to shoot. He doesn't need to shoot for the Sixers. I still want to see Ben Simmons switch shooting hands at some point in his basketball career. I really think that would be best for him in maximizing his potential. But, he, as is a great player.
Okay.
Wow. Now,
okay.
Kev's
all in on Ben.
Sixers Twitter claims that Kevin never gives the Sixers benefit of the doubt and is very negative towards the Sixers. And this would be, this would prove that wrong.
Hey, with Ben Simmons, it's the type of thing where, when he was drafted, the stuff about him shooting with the wrong hand, I feel like it just took, 4 or 5 years for it to be okay, maybe he does. But really, with Simmons, it's the type of thing where it's only about that because of the fact that he's already so good. And it's if Ben Simmons could shoot on top of everything else, he'd have a chance to be the best player in basketball.
Yeah, we'd have a legitimate chance at winning a title if he could shoot.
Hey, the thing is the Sixers do even without that, and I think that's a testament to Joel Embiid. He was only 3 for 13 the other night against Toronto in that win, but his ability to create his own shot, he had that three-pointer off the dribble. That's the go-to scorer, and Embiid has turned into it. It's crazy to see him now.
7'2", unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. So I look at this team, KOC, and I say I would like this team better if Seth Curry and Danny Green were on my bench. They are certainly playoff-tested. We know Danny Green, 2-time NBA champion, is playoff-tested. He would be better served being with that second unit. Is there a way I can get them to that second unit and still make a move to improve my starting unit that would improve this team's chances of winning a title?
I mean, it's hard to say. I would say probably not. Like, the odds are if the Sixers were making a big move for a guy that's making over $15, $20 million annually, Danny Green's a name that could be included in that type of deal. We'll see what opportunities pop up in the coming month ahead of the deadline. We're a month and a day away. But right now, I mean, I think that's probably most likely for Philadelphia. And if they were to move a guy, they'd have to include a Danny Green in there.
Yep, making $15 million. If you want to get Kyle Lowry, who's making north of $30 million KOC, and you had the report earlier this week, how viable do you think Kyle Lowry to the 76ers is right now?
I'm not sure how viable it is right now. Honestly, I think with the Toronto Raptors, they're still in evaluation stage right now. They're the 5 seed. They've been really good the last couple of weeks. So for them, they've been good without Lowry, though. They've been good with Van Vliet and Norman Powell in that backcourt. And it's not clear if Kyle Lowry is actually available right now, but he is somebody a lot of people around the league are monitoring, considering he's a free agent to be, considering the fact that Toronto could get quite a solid amount for him in return, and the fact that you could be doing him a solid, too. You know, he's from Philadelphia, and the Philadelphia 76ers, there's really only one big thing they're missing, and that's a perimeter shot creator with veteran, you know, playoff experience. And Kyle Lowry checks all those boxes. I mean, if he does become available, I'd be going hard after him if I'm Daryl Morey.
Would you imagine that he's probably the best player from a veteran standpoint that is going to be available? I say that to say we may not get as much movement from star players at this trade deadline. Are you anticipating anyone else that could be moved that could sort of shift the power of one of these teams and make them a contender?
I don't think so. I do think Kyle Lowry is the best. He's the best probability of becoming available of like any top 30, top 40 player. Like Bradley Beal right now, that would be the dream. Right. For any team that wants to trade for a star, but the Wizards aren't trading him right now.
Right.
If he gets traded, that's not going to happen until the offseason in all likelihood. And with Lowry, we'll see what happens. I mean, I would not rule against it, but it's not clear yet if he'll actually be available. But for Philadelphia, to me, that would be the number one target. That would be an all-in move. That would be a situation for the Sixers where very clearly, like, this is their chance now, and I think it is, and that's why Daryl Morey should go for him if he's available.
Mm. Yeah, we agree, Kevin O'Connor of the Ringer. So what are we talking about here? First-round pick? Are they going to want one of the 76ers' young players? What do you think gets it done from the Sixers' roster?
It's unclear at the moment, but it would definitely be a combination of young players and obviously salary filler. You'd have to include a Danny Green in that. You would have to include another salary on the roster like a Mike Scott. And, of course, for Lowry, even though he's older, even though he's a free agent to be, there's still a lot of value with him moving forward. There's no signs of him necessarily slowing down. It's just about him needing a new contract. So for the Sixers, maybe I'm curious what you guys think. Would you rather give up like a Matisse Thybulle or Tyrese Maxey? I mean, like one of those pieces, how would you feel about giving one of them up for an older player who can help you win now?
Yes.
I wouldn't blink twice. Yes. Yes.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I mean, if you don't win a championship and these guys develop into something, you may have some issues down the road, but it's worth going for it.
Yeah, you know? especially a Maxey or what have you. Thybulle, I like because he's a good defensive player, and he would have to fill that role of Danny Green being a perimeter defender with Ben Simmons. I know Doc likes his defense, but the other young guy, I'm perfectly fine with that. Kyle Lowry would be the dream trade for us as Sixers fans.
I'm with you completely. And Maxey would be tough to give up. He's really good, really talented. But you get a championship window only for so long in the NBA, and it's wide open right now for the Sixers. So if Lowry's available, got to go for him. Got to go for him.
Agreed. You mentioned the Raptors were fifth in the conference. The Celtics, now they're a game under 500, and they got beat at the buzzer last night. But, man, I mean, Kevin, it seems like that every game something else seems to go wrong for them.
Yeah, it seems like something's gone on for them for years consecutively, from the Gordon Hayward injury, Kyrie Irving wanting to leave, Kemba Walker falling off a cliff. There's always something going wrong with the Celtics right now. And for them, I still think this team can be really good. I still think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, if you have those two guys on your team, you get a chance to win a lot of games. It's just about everything else. I mean, Kemba had a solid night last night for Boston against Dallas, but there's so many weak links on that team. Like the Sixers, I don't see a lot of weak links. There's a lot of weak links with the Celtics compared to these other teams in the East that have just surpassed them. It's really as simple as that.
Nets, team in the East or team in the NBA to beat?
Did you say Nets?
Yeah, the Nets.
I mean, I still think a healthy Lakers team with Anthony Davis would be best, but I think Brooklyn's defense is underrated, man. Bruce Brown, what they do with him, it's so crazy playing him as a small ball five, using him as a switchable piece on defense. I think they have more weapons than people think to be really good in the playoffs on defense. They're just coasting in the regular season. So I would say Brooklyn in the East, but not in the overall NBA right now.
All right.
Great stuff. Kevin O'Connor, always appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. We'll talk to him next week. And, of course, Kevin's on Twitter, at Kevin O'Connor NBA, and he's on TheRinger.com and his podcast. Check him out Tuesdays and Fridays on The Mismatch, and then on Wednesdays, NBA Ringer NBA University.
Let me tell you, the Nets have no answer for Joel Embiid. Like most teams don't have an answer for Joel Embiid. We don't have a prayer to stop KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. Not a prayer. How the hell are we stopping all three of them?
I mean, and Ike, honestly, that's why Kyle Lowry's so important to get, because he doesn't. He'll go out there and he'll head to head with those guys.
Yes, guys like Maxey, they'll be shaking in their knees going up against a James Harden or Kyrie Irving in the playoffs. You need veterans. You need a Kyle Lowry who's won an NBA championship.
Yeah, it's not scary. I mean,
he won't be scared.
The Nets have won seven straight, and it's like it's only a matter of time before, and they've hit it already, right?
Imagine if they get Andre Drummond.
Yeah. And you know what? They're probably going to get Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Because that's the one piece that they need is the big guy. And, you know, I'm sure I would like to see Embiid go head to head with him, because he's kind of had his number.
Oh yeah, Embiid to kill
over
him.
The years.
I'm just worried about the other two guys.
215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. Back into the conversation on the other side about the Eagles, but we also have to wish a beloved Eagle a happy birthday. That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
How do you guys feel about facing New Orleans?
No problem. Listen. We just beat the Giants without a doubt. New Orleans is nothing to us. We are the E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles! Yeah, baby! Listen, this is our year. Every other year, we've came close, but this year is our year. Jeff Garcia, baby, is our baby. He's it, baby. We are going, baby.
Happy birthday, Jeff Garcia. 51 years old today, Ike.
Wow.
Really? Yep.
Jeff Garcia, he's our baby.
Well, what injury was this to McNabb?
I was actually here for that game.
Were you?
That after the Falcons game, week 17?
No, that was after the playoff game.
Yeah.
That was after they
beat the
Giants
in the first round, the wild card round, and then they lost to the Nolans.
As a member of the Falcons, I was here doing the pregame show.
Yeah,
sure were.
You immediately left Atlanta and came right back up here and did Philadelphia radio.
You had a plane ticket right after the game, ready to come back up here.
He's a Philly guy, not an Atlanta guy.
It's actually kind of true. It was. I was back here 4 days later.
Well, Ike, what injury was that to McNabb in 2006?
That was the ACL, right?
ACL, yeah.
ACL in 2006. It was the sports hernia in 2005, so back-to-back years, which is why they ended up investing in a draft pick in Kevin Cobb shortly thereafter. But Jeff Garcia comes in. They lose to the Tennessee Titans. They lose to the Indianapolis Colts. They get smoked by the Colts and Peyton Manning. But then Jeff Garcia and the Eagles win five straight games to end the regular season and make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
It was an amazing run. And they do win a playoff game, and then they lose to New Orleans by a field goal there. But after that year, you would have thought like, oh, well, the Eagles are certainly going to bring Jeff Garcia back. What a great backup. And they did not, and it was a very smart move to not bring him back, because it was a built-in quarterback controversy.
It was huge. You remember? Yep. I remember.
Yes.
I don't know if it was Donovan or if it was Mama McNabb that said watching the win over the Giants was bittersweet.
I think it was Mama.
Yeah. That didn't go over well with everybody.
It did not.
Yeah.
No, and for the people that are already out on McNabb from the T.O. stuff, now this happens to where they're struggling. They're not playing great. And Garcia essentially comes in with the same roster, and they win five straight to end the season.
Yeah.
And a playoff game.
Yes.
So Andy, the next year, does not bring Jeff Garcia back, because he realizes that inviting a quarterback controversy isn't the best idea. So he went to Tampa Bay, I believe, after that.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Cleveland? He went to one of the two.
That's a good question. I don't know. It was one of those two. And unless you were ready to move,
Tampa.
Unless you were ready to move on from Donovan, I don't know how you could bring Jeff Garcia back, because you're right. It would have been a quarterback controversy. And it's crazy because five had been injured in back-to-back years.
Yep.
Right? It was coming off the Super Bowl loss, where he was injured back-to-back years. You throw in the T.O. stuff there in 05.
Right.
Had that going on. And then to have 06 end the way it ended. And then Jeff Garcia comes in and leads
and
the team.
And saves the season.
Yeah. So it was a lot of built-up, you know, support for keeping Garcia here and moving on from Donovan. And a lot of fans had grown tired and were basically ready to move on. And to be honest, what, 2 years later, they were moving on.
Yep.
So, I mean, he had the 08 season where they made it back to a title game, because remember that was the year he got benched for Kevin Cobb.
And then 2009 was the playoff game again. The
Cowboys.
Yeah, the Rock. The
We showed our youth today.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the banjo.
Guitar hero.
The guitar. Oh, my God. That was.
Right. And then he was gone.
Yes.
And if you remember, Jeff Garcia came back. He played in one game in 2009.
I remember that.
At age 39. I always liked Jeff Garcia. Got ever, like a really, really talented guy. Just didn't have great size.
Dude, for a week, we had Donovan, Michael Vick, Jeff Garcia, and Kevin Cobb here.
Wait, Jeff Garcia came back?
Yes.
Yes.
Because they were injured. Donovan got hurt in the first game of the season. Mike wasn't ready to play, really. And Kevin Cobb, I don't know if he got injured or what.
I don't remember the circumstances.
But somehow, Jeff Garcia, they had to call Jeff Garcia.
And he came in as an emergency quarterback.
Yeah, it was like for a week or two.
AJ Feely wasn't available?
Yeah, he may have already retired, I guess.
He did not throw a pass. He kneeled down, I believe, because he has three rushes in 2009 for minus 2 yards.
Yeah. Okay. So he came in and during a win.
Actually, he had a lost fumble. Yes, and a win. They beat Kansas City.
He came in and played.
That was the Kevin Cobb win against Kansas City. Remember, Kevin Cobb had that – he didn't have a great day, but he hit a couple crossing routes to Deshaun Jackson.
Okay.
And threw for some yards.
Yeah. I just remember Garcia was here for like a week or two.
Yeah, Cobb threw for 327 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because Donovan was out.
Yeah, that must have been that player of the month, Kevin Cobb.
Yep. Yep.
First player in NFL history to pass for 400 yards in back-to-back weeks.
Right,
Fool's gold.
Like player of the month, Kevin Cobb, yep.
Fool's gold. But anyway, happy birthday, Jeff Garcia. Which I would say this about Jeff Garcia, he's a top seed, a number one seed in Philadelphia athletes who were beloved but only here for a short time.
Yes,
man, people loved him.
Yeah, I don't know why, but yeah.
Well, undersized, probably under talented.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you what, Jeff Garcia. You know, I can't roll with Jeff Garcia because I'm a five guy.
Yeah.
I'm a five guy. And Jeff Garcia, no, you know, no disrespect to Jeff. And I understand he wanted to keep playing, so he has no allegiance here. But he was here trying to pander to the Philadelphia fan base and run McNabb out of here.
Would you call this pandering?
Hey, Philadelphia, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, see? Yeah, you got to go. Out. That's probably when Five was like, you know what? Get him out of here.
Yeah, and he was
really?
Out. Not too.
We're doing the Philadelphia Merry Christmas. Really?
215-592-9494. Who are the other beloved Philadelphia athletes who were only here for a short time?
Yeah, Jeff, you got to know your role. Stay in your lane, bro. This is McNabb's town.
Oh, come on, man.
You know, he was trying to sneak in when McNabb was at his weakest point. He was injured, and he's trying to take over the locker room.
I bet he was.
He's trying to take over the season. He's a weasel.
He's beloved. We talk about a weasel.
He came in and saved the season, Ike.
I know, but I'm just saying.
10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 1,300 yards.
Great job.
High completion percentage.
Great job as a backup quarterback. No doubt. No doubt about it. But understand your role. You're not Donovan McNabb. You don't come into McNabb City after all what he had gone through and what we had did as an organization and try to take advantage of a moment when he's injured to try to win over the fan base because you feel like they fall in love with the backup quarterback. Get out of here, Jeff Garcia. Get out of here.
Man, I like Garcia. I mean, he was gone the next year because you knew there would have been a controversy.
Yes!
And he was trying to be a coach, too. I've had him on before where he was lobbying to be a quarterback's coach or something.
See?
215-592-9494.
Always lobbying.
So he's a weasel. You called him a weasel.
He tried to steal Donovan's fan base.
Yeah, but you know what the Eagles did?
What?
They got rid of him.
Damn right.
And committed to Donovan. You know what they did this time around, Ike? They shipped the guy to Indianapolis.
Yep. God. Well, if Donovan would have demanded out and said he didn't, and said he came back, 215-592.
Demanded more money.
94-94. There are definitely some, and this is outside of the Eagles too, but guys that were here for a short time that are still beloved to this day. Yeah. Some more than Jeff Garcia. I mean, it was a very short stint.
Oh, man, I got way more than Jeff Garcia.
All right, well, compile your list there. Compile your list.
I could have started Chris Long.
Yeah, oh, yeah, all-timer.
Man.
Yeah. Man.
He started with Chris Long.
He's still an Eagle. He's here for 2 years.
Yeah.
Is he number one on the list?
Right? Could be.
Because the way he talks, right, like what he tweets about, what he talks about on his podcast, is a lot of it's Eagles related.
He's a lifelong Eagle.
You would think that he got drafted and like almost like Dawkins, didn't end his career here, but spent most of his career. He connected with the team and the fan base more than any other team he was at.
I don't see him tweeting New England Patriots stuff.
No. Chris Long's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a great one. 215-592-9494. In addition to our Eagles conversation of me wanting to turn the Eagles into the Sam Hinkie 76ers, trust the process. Get rid of everybody.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Everybody. Write down the Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks. Anybody left standing that has an expensive contract, trade them or release them. Get rid of everybody, Ike.
No. I understand the thought behind where you're going with this, but I just look at it as if you're the Eagles, what does the 2021 season mean to me? What am I looking to get out of this 2021 season? And for me, if I'm the Eagles, I just – traded away a 28-year-old, completely healthy quarterback who I had tabbed as my franchise quarterback.
Right.
I just traded him away. Well, I need to find out if Jalen Hurts is my guy. And if they go past this draft and they don't take a quarterback, then to me their thought process should be not necessarily push all in and win and try to all of that stuff, but it should certainly be we need to give Jalen Hurts the best opportunity we can to show us what his ceiling could be. Like, I can't get a good look, a good evaluation of Jalen Hurts if he can't be protected, if he's running for his life, if we roll out their 13 offensive line different combinations again like we did this past year. Right, it's not going to do me any good, and I'm not going to really get a true assessment of what Jalen Hurts is and what he can be. So I want to at least give him the opportunity to give me the best chance to make a good decision as it pertains to him. So with that being the case, there are some veterans I am going to have to bite the bullet and keep here just so that we can put a competitive team on the field. Oh, and by the way, we might be able to win this division with 7 games.
7-10?
Yeah.
Come on, get out of here winning this division. Who even cares about winning the division? I don't. This is about building the right way. You win the division because you win too many games on a last place schedule. Now Howie's not rebuilding properly. Now you're going in and you're signing veterans and you're kicking the can further down the line on your veterans that you have. You're keeping them around. No, end it.
One more year.
All right, let's go to the phones. Rich on a cell. Rich.
Hey, Ike, I tell you what, I believe that Jeff Garcia was a better tipper than Donovan, that's for sure. I drove both of those guys.
I can't argue out, that.
You couldn't get anything out of Donovan, I'll tell you that. So I give Jeff Garcia a root for my way, just for that principle. I think you gotta keep some veterans, man. You can't just tear it all apart, like you said. Like you gotta have some guys in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. Got to.
Like who?
That was a call.
Like who?
Like, you know, I mean, definitely not Peterson. You know.
No,
Jason,
I know. Like
about Jason Peters. Yeah, bring Jason Peters back here again.
I get what you're saying that you don't want to just have rookies and first year players or whatever. But like, really, who are you keeping around? You're going to keep Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson around. Like, who else? You Fletcher Cox. I mean, I don't know if it's a great idea to keep some of these guys around, right?
Some of them, not all of them. I mean, you know. But listen, let's be honest here. I mean, how this is, in my opinion, his last shot. I mean, he messes up this draft. I mean, you're 1-2s, I believe. I know you played the game. They should be playing on your field. They
yes.
should be in a workout room preparing. You know, those two are big. They cost you 3-4 years if you make those mistakes wrong.
I agree. Mm. Mm.
Did you have a beloved athlete that wasn't here a long time,
Moses.
Rich?
Moses. He was short time, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it was 83. They traded him in 86, so he was here 3, 4, 5, 6, 4 years, and then he came back later on. Did win a championship.
Yeah, that's not a short time.
Like, a short time is 2 years max.
Yeah, I mean, and
Cliff Lee the first time would have qualified.
Oh, yeah, how about that? Yeah, Cliff Lee.
And
yeah.
Then what happened?
And then he came back, and we hated him by the end.
I did not, but yeah, by the end, I did. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I was a Cliff Lee guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one. Does this count? Brad Lidge.
Yeah.
Was he here?
That was 2 years, I think.
I think he was here longer than that.
Was
I think he was on the 10 team.
Yeah, he was. I forgot that.
Oh,
like,
I don't remember the team.
No, because I looked at this recently. He was on. No, 4 years he was on the team.
Okay.
Wow.
So yeah, he really.
We
did
remember
that.
The 1 year.
1 year.
Well,
yes.
And we remember 09 because Damon stole third off of him in the World Series.
Oh God.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's just like I'm just so sick and tired of how we talk about the Phillies sometimes. Like, we just forget what happened in 09, and I don't think I'm gonna let this city forget what Hamels and Lidge did.
I didn't know that was Lidge.
Dude, if Brad Lidge was semi competent in 09, they probably win the whole thing.
Do you know Brad Lidge's numbers in 09? 0-8 with a 7.21 ERA.
Well, he really did sell all out in 08, didn't he?
He did have 31 saves. Do you know when
he got there eventually?
In 2011 he had a 1.4 ERA, just 25 outings, but
yeah.
I don't remember anything. I remember him being bad in 09, and right. I don't remember anything else from Brad Lidge.
I didn't even know he was here 4 years.
Me neither.
You think he was here just in 08?
Pretty
that's
no.
That's all I remember.
The only thing I remember pro
– until you just reminded me about the Johnny Damon
still
play.
Still third,
yes.
Awful. But I just remember Lidge allowed a walk-off to, like, Ryan Zimmering as the Nats, and they go straight to Ricky Bowe after the game. And I don't think – like, for all the meltdowns he's had, like, I've never seen Ricky Bowe's face as red as that day.
So that was the number one seed of Ricky Bowe meltdowns?
Yeah, it was like a Brad Lidge walk-off in one of those post-World Series years.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with improving your bullpen. You won't get Ricky Bowe at his finest. You need bad bullpens to get Ricky Bowe crazy. Or Gabe Kapler, the combination of both. Mad Mike's checking in. Mad Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, man?
Hey, Marks, you still mad at me?
No, I was just annoyed by the end of the week. You had the same point I don't know how many times.
So here's my thing. Yeah. I would cut everybody. Cut everybody you possibly can. Just have just a fire sale. Don't bring back Mr. Smiles too much. We can't get 10 sacks, Brandon Graham. Don't bring back Fletcher Cox, who's way overpaid and underperforms and takes plays off. Just don't bring any of these players back. Just cut all your losses, get all your cap right, but they won't do it. And you know why? Because Howie Roseman's trying to protect his job, and if he does this and they go all in with a rebuild, he's going to get exposed more, and they're just going to half-ass it, and they're going to do the contract restructuring, which got them in trouble the last time, and they're just going to do the same stupid stuff over and over again, and they're going to wonder why they can't put the team back together again.
Yeah, but here's my thing on that, Mike. And I believe me, I understand part of what you're saying, along with John is saying, what some others have said. I understand the thought process behind it, but I don't think the Eagles, other than I'm looking at their defensive roster, because that's really where you want to go, they're going to get rid of Malik Jackson. We already know that. Tough decisions to be made with Slay and Derek Barnett. You got Josh Sweat there that you can put in front of Derek Barnett if you don't want to pay him, what is it, the $9 million he's owed.
Slay was a fraud, and I would never bring back Barnett. That guy was the worst the end ever. Like, there are just so many frauds and overpaid losers on this team.
But here's the thing, though. For guys, Mike, that aren't necessarily bad locker room guys, I don't know how much cap help you're going to get this year. Right, so unless you're planning on taking the cap relief and adding players, the money is already accounted for the 2021 season. You can get rid of these guys after the 2021 season, and you're going to have $80 plus million dollars in salary cap available to you. The reason why I want to keep these guys around, as long as they're good locker room guys and they're good leaders, is because I want to have something there for Jalen Hurts. This is Philadelphia, man. And while all this love for Jalen Hurts is right there – now for him. When we start playing games next year, that's going to change. Like, that's going to change. And then he's going to have to be the one standing in front of the team as the leader and setting the culture in the locker room. While he may have the ability to do that, why put all of that on his shoulders? So if you can keep some veterans here, that will also be beneficial from the standpoint of being competitive out there and relieving some of that burden off Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Why not keep those guys around? Like getting the pick to the third pick or the fourth pick or the fifth pick as opposed to having the ninth or tenth pick, it isn't worth it to go 3-14.
Mike, I'm afraid to ask you if you have any beloved athletes that wasn't
Sean
here very
Barber,
long.
Sean Barber, actually. I thought of one.
Sean Barber.
He was
awesome that one year. Like,
yes.
He was really good.
Mm. How about that?
Look at Mike with a good answer.
That's a good answer, Mike. Barbier.
I like Sean Barber. He was a good guy, good talker.
Yep.
He liked fantasy football long before players were in the fantasy football. He had teams.
Yeah.
He was awesome. We're getting some good ones here. I know Matt from Mayfair and Elliot in Wilmington both DM'd me. Aaron Rowan as a guy that wasn't here alone that was beloved.
Yep.
Smashing your face in the wall.
That'll do it.
Oh, what a Philly guy.
Yeah, he's a Philly guy without
a
doubt.
Oh, yeah, sure is.
And listen, we're going to be getting spring training baseball coming up here this week. Wait, the 28th is the first game?
Sunday?
Yeah.
How about that?
I don't know if it's – Jack, is it televised?
It's not televised.
No, they're not going to do like a Facebook Live game.
I hope that for my sake the Tigers broadcast it. You know, because it's at the Tigers, so I hope that they broadcast it. But I have no idea.
So what do you do? Go to their website?
Yeah, like if you have an MLB TV subscription, you know, sometimes you get the out of town stuff. So hopefully,
Who the hell will have that,
Jack?
Me.
Are you really watching out of town baseball?
Yeah, of course. I was like Ike over the summer when it came to gambling. So I was watching a lot of. The game's like 12.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say,
but also I'm, you know, pretty invested in fantasy. So
I was like Ike.
There you go. Yes.
I was like Ike.
Yeah, he threw
gambling.
Me out there. Gambling. Yeah, threw me out there.
No, it was my other friend Ike.
Should we do a fantasy baseball league for the Marks and Reese show?
It's not good unless people are really invested in it.
Yeah, I tried fantasy baseball a few years ago. It's too much work.
Yeah, unless you set your lineups weekly, which you can do. I did a daily lineup setting before, and it's way too much.
Way too much work.
I might do a fantasy baseball this year. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. Just imagine how.
Now, if we want to do one for the show,
yeah,
I'll be in.
Yeah, for the show.
I'll do it.
You know how annoying the people will be again to try to get in the show? It's worth it. People are still mad about not getting in.
Jack, he doesn't want to do it.
I don't know. Like I can't deal with it two times in a year.
Well, Jack, you have to set up the.
I know, but it takes a lot of mental preparation to get ready for August around here with having to deal with these people. So.
Oh, and once football season started, we would forget about the fantasy baseball. And we'd get right
for sure. No doubt about it.
I don't know. Why not? Let's do it. 215-592-9494. It's the best time to join the show. Do you want the Eagles to go full Sam Hinkie 76ers process, tear the damn thing down, or do you want to keep some veterans around to try to win games and keep the culture intact? And who was beloved here, even though they were only here for a short amount of time? Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. We go commercial-free next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.